suffering from Isaiah chapter 45, and we'll read from verse 18 to the end. So that's Isaiah 45, and we'll begin to read at verse 18. So let's hear God's word. For thus says the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret, in a dark place of the earth. I said unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain? I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, that ye that have escaped of the nations, they have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image, and pray unto a God that cannot live, save. Tell ye, and bring them near. Ye, let them have counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient times? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God beside me, a just God and a Saviour. There is none else. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely, shall one say, in the Lord, have I righteousness and strength? Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified, and shall glory. And so reads God's holy word. Looking is beneficial. That's the heading. Looking is beneficial. The Lord said in Isaiah chapter 45, look unto me, and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. So looking is beneficial. He says, look and be saved. Saved from what? There's sort of four questions here that the Lord would ask us. He says, look unto me and be saved, but to be saved from what? We're all sitting in a church, we're all nice people. I'm sure there's no bank robbers here. There's no murderers here. So saved from what? Well, the Bible says saved from sin. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And sin started in Genesis chapter 3, when the two people that God had created perfect, with a bias, listened to the lies of someone else and sinned against God. And down through the ages, sin has followed us. And sin will follow us down through the ages until the last day of time. And then it will be gone. Because some will be in a place where there's no sin. And others will be in a place where they would like to still sin, but can't sin. So save from what? Save from self, and save from condemnation. There's a time coming when God will judge He's a wonderful God. He's a righteous God. He has to do that which is right. We think about the prison judicial thing today. They're going to start turning people out of the prisons long before their time. They're there because they have committed crimes and they should serve their sentence. And this is the same with God. We have all sinned against Him and we should serve our sentence. But He says, look unto Me and be saved from your sin. Isaiah again tells us that in Isaiah 53, that all our iniquities, all our sin was placed on Him. What a wonderful thing that's happened to us, but what a terrible thing happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. And who done it? My friends, it wasn't those at the foot of the cross. It was His Father Himself that placed the sin of all His people on His Son's shoulders. It happened when He turned away. My God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? The Father forsook the Son. He turned His back upon the Son because the Bible tells us that God cannot look upon sin. This is wonderful news. And it's been since Genesis chapter 3, the same news. Look unto Me and be ye saved. That's what He said to Adam and Eve when they took off their fig leaves and they placed on them skins. There had been an innocent animal had been sacrificed to cover them and to cover their sin. But it's no longer an innocent animal that has to suffer to cover our sins. It's an innocent person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Saved from what? Saved from sin. Well, if we're saved from something, then we must be saved to something. And the question is, saved to what? He's not left us in limbo. He saved us to something. And it's the salvation. Look unto Me and be ye saved. We're saved to those things I mentioned at the beginning. We're saved to peace with God. We're saved to become citizens of heaven. We look for a city that's not made with hands, as Abraham looked for. Saved to what? Saved to joy. Jesus says to His disciples and to those who were listening, I've come that you might have joy and that your joy might be full. Have you got fullness of joy this morning? You may have problems. But the joy that Christ gives you is deep in the heart. And Jesus says, no one can take it from you. Not even the mourning that we saw on Friday morning can take that joy from Gary. It's there. I have it in my heart. It was placed there by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself when He sent His Holy Spirit into the world to bring the truth to bear upon myself. And I repented of my sins and I believed what the Holy Spirit was telling me about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit said to me something similar to this: look unto Him and be ye saved. From what? From sin. To what? To salvation. And if we're saved from these two things, what is it that saved us? It's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. Even in the Old Testament, one of my favourite verses in the Old Testament is Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. And it says there that God has given us the blood upon the altar. And it's the blood that makes an atonement, not for your sin only, but first and foremost for your soul. You see, your soul has to be right with God. And that's what he says in Leviticus. It's the blood that makes an atonement for your soul. Those three people I mentioned, where are their souls at this moment? Their souls are with the Lord. Where is their bodies? Their bodies are in the grave, waiting to be risen from the dead. One day when Christ comes back again, and he shouts, it tells us there in John chapter 5, when he comes again, he has that shout, and everyone who's in the grave will rise up. They'll rise again and be reunited with the soul. But the soul at the moment is with Christ. Saved by what? Saved by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing can save a sinner other than the blood of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the power of God. And I say this in the right sense. The Father can't save anyone without using the Son. For it's the Father that sent the Son to die on Calvary. And the Son never works without the Father. And the Father and the Son never work without the Holy Spirit. That's why there's the Trinity. There are not three gods. There is one God. Three persons, co-equal, there in eternity forever. No beginning and no end. What a God we love. What a God we worship. Oh, to be worshipping a piece of metal, to be worshipping something made with wood, something made with plastic. It can do you no good. You can take your gods and throw them in the fire and they'll burn. Take your wooden crosses and throw it in the fire and it will burn. Take your plastic images and throw them in the fire and they will burn. And they will be no more. They are supposedly gods who cannot save themselves, but the Christian worships the God who is eternal, who had no beginning and no end. Saved from what? From sin. Saved to what? To salvation. Saved by what? By the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I added this, then what? Then what? Three things. We live by Christ. We live with Christ. And we live for Christ. That's why we're saved. We are not antinomian. We do not say, I'm saved so I can live as I want. We are reformed. We believe that we are saved to please God, to live for God, to live with God, and to live by God. My dear friends, if you're not saved this morning, then I tell you, there's a coming time when you will regret sitting here on this 14th of July. It is the 14th, yes. The 14th of July will be brought to your memory. God will say, you were there. And you heard that great text, look unto me and be ye saved, and you didn't. I gave you the opportunity to be saved, and you didn't want it. What a terrible thing for someone to promise you something and you to say, I don't want it. The greatest gift that God could give to anyone is the death of his Son and the resurrection of his Son, and the ascension of his Son, and the enthronement of his Son. Oh, what a Saviour that he died for me. From condemnation he has set me free. Has he set you free? Look and be saved. The illustration that comes to me is that we're inundated by catalogues and by junk mail. We get it almost every day, something to come through. And this is the three things that they want you to do. They want you to look. They want you to consider. And they want you to come to them. Just a few years ago, our Hoover broke down. So we went to a shop that sold Hoovers. And there was loads of Hoovers. So we looked at all the Hoovers, and we read all it said about them, and we considered about the Hoovers. And when we come to the decision which one we wanted, we went to the checkout and we paid for the Hoovers. And that's what the Bible says concerning us. We need to look. And we need to consider. And we need to come. And we find that in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, where he says, looking unto the Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus, then he goes on to say, and consider him. Think about what Jesus has done. Think about why he has come. So he's telling you there to do two things, look and to consider. But it also says in verse 22, but ye are come, and verse 24, unto Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. So the scripture would verify that. That's three things that we need to do. We need to look to Jesus. We need to consider why he came. And we need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Lord Jesus Christ says in Matthew chapter 11 in verse 27, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, he says. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I won't sell it to you. I won't lend it to you. He said, I will give it to you. It will be yours to keep. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Will you today look to Jesus? Will you consider him? Think about why he came and what he has achieved? And like we did with the Hoover, we made a decision, we'll have that one. We'll have a decision that you'll have none of your false gods, but you'll have that one. The Lord Jesus Christ. Look what God has to offer. Consider the benefits and come to him who is the best and the only supplier of salvation. Oh, my dear friends, this is wonderful news. No wonder Paul could say to the people at Rome, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Because I've seen men and women in different countries being saved. Paul could say to those at Rome, I've seen in different countries churches being formed. And they were formed because the gospel was preached. And men and women were challenged by the Holy Spirit. And they come to realize that they were sinners. They'd sinned against a holy God. A God who had them born and a God who had kept them. Even though they were against him, they kept him. He fed them, he clothed them, he housed them. My dear friends, you'll have all that to answer for. You'll have all that to answer for. God has been good to us. For 38 years I lived for myself before I was saved. And yet God was good to me. God was good to me. But I didn't appreciate it. And if I hadn't been saved, I would have had to have given an answer. But why did you not acknowledge the goodness of God? It's not hard. God's not asking you to climb some mountain. God is just asking you to acknowledge that his Son is the only Saviour for sinners. That's not a hard thing to do. And yet then again on the other side of the coin, it's impossible to do. It's God that has to call us. It's the Holy Spirit that has to convict us. We need to look. We need to consider. And we need to come. And I say again, looking is beneficial. And God always does three things concerning the gospel. And he always does them in this sequence. He always makes a statement. He always gives a question, or asks a question, and he always makes a promise. He always does that concerning the gospel, and he always does it in that sequence. A statement, a question, and a promise. And we find that in Isaiah chapter 45. The statement we find, if your Bible's open, the statement we find is in verse 12 and 13. And here's the statement that God always makes. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives, not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 12, he makes a statement of who he is. God always makes that statement. I am God. In verse 45 and verse 5, I am the Lord and there is none else. There is no God beside me. Verse 13, he's talking about what he has done. He's talking here about his Son. His Son would come in righteousness. His Son goes the way he was directed. He's building the city and he shall let the captives go. And Isaiah tells us that again in Isaiah chapter 61 verses 1 to 3. Where the Lord Jesus Christ uses this portion of scripture when he's preaching in the synagogue. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord was upon me. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the year of the Lord. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. We're living in this year of acceptance to the Lord. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance. The day of vengeance is to come. That day of vengeance is on its way. And you and I will meet that day of vengeance. But Paul says to the Corinthians that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for those who have looked, for those who have considered. And for those who have come, there is no condemnation. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. I used to preach on this quite often in the day centres when I was with a mission. And I love to preach on this. And I says to the men, men, this concerns you. If you're lonely, but trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll appoint them that mourn in Zion to give them beauty for ashes, to give them the oil of joy for mourning, and the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And they used to sit there. Some of them were filthy. Their clothes were all ragged. And to hear news that God could change it in an instant is good news. So that's the statement that God always makes first and foremost. I am God and there is no other. And the second is a question, and we find that question in verse 21. Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath created this from ancient times? Who has stored it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no else beside me, a God, a just God and a Saviour, there is none beside me. There's the question. Who has told you this from of old? Is it not I? And Jesus says to the Pharisees when they were attacking him in the temple, he said, I've never spoken in the dark. Jesus never speaks in the dark. He never says things that we can't understand, as it were. He spoke plainly. That's why they were saying to him, this man speaks with authority, and no man speaks like this man. So there's a statement God always makes, I am God. And there's the question in verse 21, the question is this, who saves? Is it not I? And then there's a promise in verse 22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Three things that God is doing now. Three things that God is doing now. He's just made a statement that there is no other God except him. He's just asked a question about the past. Who is it that sent his son to die on Calvary? And then he's given this promise. Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your hearts. Look unto me and be saved. Be completely saved. Be eternally saved. Be saved that you can't be unsaved. Jesus said to his disciples, and he says to you and he says to me, I give you eternal life and you shall never perish. And no one shall pluck you out of my hand, and no one shall pluck you out of my Father's hand, for he is greater than me. So will you look? Will you consider? Give Jesus a couple of minutes' thoughts. Because he's given you how many years you have thoughts. I'm 84 and Jesus has been thinking about me for 84 years. Because he knew me before I was born. He knew me in eternity. And I've been in his thoughts. Even when I was unsaved, I was still in his thoughts because he came to save me. And you have been in God's thoughts since the day you were conceived. Not born, conceived. Because there's life at conception. It's not after weeks and months. It's at conception. There's life. And I'll tell you why I say this and why I believe it. Because two women met. One had just conceived and one was 6 months pregnant. And when they met together, the 6 months child jumped for joy at the feeling and the knowledge of the conception in this other woman. One was Mary and one was Elizabeth. And it tells us there that Mary went to see her cousin and she had only just conceived. So that tells us that at conception there is life. Yes, my dear friends, there's a statement, there's a question, and then there's a promise. Let me just say this, five things. I'm not going to open them up, I'm just going to say them. Look unto me, which is exclusive concerning God. It's a restrictive statement concerning God alone. Looking unto me. When he said in verse 22, be ye saved, it's imperative. It's an imperative, it's vital in verse 20. Assemble yourselves and come and draw near together, ye that have escaped of the nations that have no knowledge, that set up the wood of their graven images and pray unto a God that cannot save. It's vital, it's imperative that you be saved from such a thing. And then it says, in all the earth, which is inclusive. Verse 21, it's encompassing. It's a universal message. Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. It's a universal message. But it's not a universal salvation. It's for those who look. It's for those who consider. And it's for those who come. I am God, he says. Look unto me and be ye saved for all the ends of the world. For I am God. It's a directive. It's instructive. Verse 21. Who hath declared this from ancient times? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God beside me? A just God and a Saviour? There is none beside me. My friend, it's directive. Look unto me. There's no good looking anywhere else. And then it's selective, discriminating. Well, the time's gone, but Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God unto salvation. To the Jew first, and then the Greeks, and then the Gentiles. So it's a worldwide message. Go out into the world and preach the gospel. And those who believe will be saved. Listen. Oh, my friends, listen. Please, please listen. If you're not saved, then look. Just look. Look at the cross in the middle. There's three crosses there. The one on the right-hand side or one on one of the sides. He looked. He considered. And he came to Jesus on his deathbed, as it were. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember you, he says. I'm taking you with me. For today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Look and consider, has he done all this for me? Did he leave the glory for me? Mr. J says that God gave us the cradle to show us how God came to men. And he said he gave us the cross to show us how men could come to God. Consider the cross. Consider the blood. Consider eternity. And come. Come without price. That's what it says here. And one of the verses we read, without price. God only asks for your heart. In Proverbs chapter 23, I think it is. Verse 26, or something like that. That's the question that God gave to Solomon. He said, son, give me your heart. You've got a kingdom. You've got all these goodies. You're the richest man in the world. But I want none of it. Because I've given you it. But all I ask in return is your heart. Give me your heart. Oh, for a heart to praise my God. Let's pray.